just thank you again for Lee's heart to share you, and not just with us this morning, but particularly with those who are real lost and broken, particularly the some of the community around Oldham that's homeless and just haven't got a lot, and yet his heart is so towards them, Lord, and we thank you for the way that you use him, especially on a Tuesday night, but I know not just on a Tuesday night. And we just pray for him again today, that you'd fill him with your spirit as he shares from your word again today. May we be tentative to your voice speaking to us, and may you bless Lee as he shares, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Are we on? Can you hear me? I can't hear me. My ears are blocked. I know. They're always blocked. I'm going to have to bite the bullet and go to one of these, you know, that syringe your ears, because drops, I've got boxes of drops here, don't work. But you know what? It's funny Dave mentioned about attitude, because I want to share this morning about, you know, your attitude determines your altitude. Right? It does. You know what that? Where's she gone? She should have gone in there. You know, don't you just love young people that just do stuff like that? Just real brave, proper. Bless me that. No, I don't want to join a nearby network. All right. Done that before, you know, where you're preaching, you get your iPad out and it joins a nearby network, and all that start popping up while you're preaching. I don't want that. Leslie's not here today. She's really unwell as well. But do you know what? You've got to have the attitude that says, you know what, no matter what's going on, God is still good. God is still worth praising. It's the attitude that sets us off right. You know, you can, you know, every whether it's good or bad, everything has a consequence. You know, so we've got to keep striving for Jesus. We've got to keep pursuing God. I'm going to pray first. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we want to honour you this morning, Lord God. We want your name to be glorified this morning. So, Father, less of me and more of you, in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to read a couple of scriptures throughout my message. It's not a really big message this morning, but I feel like it's important. And I want to read from Romans 12, verse 2, and I'm reading from the NLT. It says, "Don't copy the behaviour and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." But we do that. I do that. Sometimes we try hard not to follow certain things, but we end up being drawn in, and it sort of pulls us away from what's truly important. I'm a diabetic, and I go, and I won't be graphic, but I go to the toilet maybe four times at least a night, right? And I was on, but the last couple of days I've been waking up having really strange nightmares, right? And I'm not, I could probably count on one hand through my life where I've had nightmares. And I was just in the bathroom early hours this morning, and I felt a bit anxious as to why do I keep having these weird nightmares. They're not even like good ones, they're weird nightmares. I don't know if there is a good nightmare, but do you know the kind of nightmare where at the end of it I draw a big sword and start slaying everyone? It weren't, you know, each one has been really strange, and I just felt a bit anxious, and I was just asking God 4 o'clock this morning, Lord, why do I keep having these nightmares? And do you know what? If I'm not filling myself with God, I'm filling it with other things. So sometimes I'm in my back cave, what I call my back cave, and I can't think of what to do. So I'll start watching films, you know, sometimes I'm going to bed at 2 o'clock in the morning when I'm getting up at crack of dawn for work. And the film I've watched is just a predictable sort of superhero / action film. But then I'm going to bed and I'm having these weird dreams. But in the moment before I can't decide what to watch, and I'm flicking through the remote and the TV thinking, what do I do, what do I do? In the moment, I should be in the Word. I should be spending time with God. And then God said to me at 4 o'clock this morning, You know, if you're not spending time, if you're not filling yourself with me, you're filling yourself with rubbish. And it's so true. But it's an attitude thing. It is. Do you know what? A plane, the nose of a plane has to be pointed up and eventually it will take off, right? If it doesn't, it will stay grounded. If we allow like the whole thing of the world with negativity and woe is me and all the stuff that's going on in the world, if we allow it to, it will keep us grounded. We'll never move forward because there'll always be something to moan about. There'll always be something to have a whinge about. Or, even within church, you can see someone else being used by God. And the smile on your face is not real because you're thinking, why not me? Why aren't I being used? Not, you know what, praise God that person is being used. But we tend to think, you know what, why not me? Woe is me. But it's an attitude thing, because if we honestly believe that it's all glory to God, then we should champion every single person, whether they're at the door welcoming, because it's no different to being at the pulpit, because it's all service. And I think sometimes we've got to be careful that pride don't kick in, because that'll affect our attitude, where we feel like, you know what, I'm up here, so I'm a little bit more important than you because I'm up here. No, it's the ones that really want to serve God with everything they do. My wife is a perfect example, right? She's not an upfront person at all. She'd just burst into flames if Dave brought her up here, right? I remember when we first came to this church and Alison asked her to do a Bible reading. It was like, I thought we were going to put an exchange in and move, right? She was like, I can't do that. Because that's not what God's called her to. But you ask her to serve. You ask her to come alongside people. And she's amazing because God uses her in that area. But she's no less important to me because I have the opportunity to get up and preach at the front. It's about how we see God. And do we try and put God in a box? Because let me tell you, we can't. He's beyond space, time and matter. We can't fit God into a box. We can't fit God into our agenda. It has to be his agenda. Don't copy the behaviour of the world. Don't follow the crowd. Don't try and keep up with the Joneses. But instead, maybe be a trendsetter. Maybe you do something for God and someone else will follow. You know, I nearly texted you yesterday and said, I bet my text is better than yours today. So, I have quite a big family, right, and lots of cousins. And I was on my way to work yesterday, and I got a text, and it said, I want this religion thing like you. In fact, you know what, I'll read it to you, because I'll get it wrong. Because I always do. Right, where are we? And I was feeling, by the way, pretty rubbish yesterday. My ears have been blocked since I can remember. I felt, you know, like you ever woke up and you just feel like you've been jumped. Or is that just me? Is that an age thing, Dave? Because I'm catching you up now. But I feel like the moment I get up, I've been filled in. And it takes me about half an hour, 45 minutes to like walk into my normal pace. I'm like, and everything hurts. And I mean, everything hurts. I didn't sign up for this. No one said 50 was like just a trapdoor that opens you up and you just fall into, do you know what I mean? So I'm not happy about that. But, so I got this text and it said, where is it? Hi, cuz, I want to start believing and change my life like you did. And so does my daughter. Do you have a Bible? I went, he's totally real, cuz. 27 years ago, he changed me completely. I will drop you both off a Bible over the weekend. What's the best time for you? Well, I'm off today. Whenever you want to bring it, it's up to you, cuz. But definitely, definitely bring it. And I'm thinking, you know what? You know, we can write people off sometimes and think, you know, we don't know what's going on in someone's life. We don't. What I want to tell you is that You know, the more you and me serve God in the way that we're serving God, not because in case someone's watching, but just know that they are. Now, the Bible says that we might never see the fruit of our labour, but it'll be there. We might not see it in our lifetime, in our circles, but everything we do, somebody's watching. Somebody's watching. I've met people. I remember going into a prison in Rochdale years ago just to share my testimony. And there was a guy still in there from when I was in there. And he must have had a flurry of offences what kept him in. But when I was talking to him, he told me he'd started going to chapel because of the conversation we had years ago. Do you know what I mean? We don't know how people are seeing it. The world is messed up. It's broken. But there's a light. You know, we sing about the lighthouse. We go to the lighthouse on Tuesday nights. But the truth is, we're all lighthouses for somebody else. The purpose of a lighthouse is to cast light and to for those ships that are lost, to bring them back in to a safe port. That's each and every one of us. That's our ministry. Before anything else, that is our ministry, to show the light of the gospel, to be hope of the world. You know, the joy of the Lord is our soul, is our strength, that joy. It doesn't mean that, I certainly don't think it means that every day we just do roly-polies and cartwheels and star jumps, because that wouldn't be real. But when we get to a place where we say, why me? Why me, God? Why am I going through this? When we get to a place where we can flip that on its head and say, you know what, this is another opportunity for God to move. I have been in some what feel like dead-end situations where I think there's no way that this is going to come good. But then God's come good. The moment I've shrugged it off, stopped feeling sorry for myself and said, you know what, God, but all glory to you. Let your will. Jesus was in the garden, you know, looking death in the face. He knew he was sweating drops of blood. It was a real severe time in the garden, but he still switched it. Not my will, but yours. So sometimes we can feel like, oh, you know what, I just want to bury my head in the sand. I just don't want to be here anymore. I just, you know, it's awful. I want the ground to swallow me up. But you know what? Even in that mess, I know that God is big enough. I know that God is more powerful and bigger than my situation. And if I just put my trust in God, he'll bring me through it. And he has done every single time. You know, I've never stepped out of the boat and God's not met me. Never. And I don't believe I ever will. I don't believe when I get to that place, and sometimes it's facing fear, it's looking it right in the eye, and acknowledging and declaring the name of Jesus, because there's power, ultimate power in the name of Jesus, but we don't always operate under it because we allow the fear of man to creep in. So our attitude, the negative gravity will pull us down and it keeps us grounded. So we kind of Christian by name only because we come to church on a Sunday and we join in with the songs and, you know, we go through the repetitive sort of way church can be when we're not really connected, but we're only here in person. Instead of saying, do you know what? You know what God has done for me? And I think we have to sometimes say it out loud, remind ourselves what God has done for me, what he did for me at the cross, the price he paid for me, for my sins, what he did at the cross. Surely today I can live for him. Amen? Surely today I can bring myself out of the pit that I'm in, because there's a God in heaven that not only loves me, but he actually left the splendor and the glory. John 3:16, we read it so many times, but when we understand what took place, where God himself, the CEO, our big boss, our king, he left the glory of heaven. And I think when we say it, it's like such a nice scripture, but don't think we always understand it. God so loved us, me and you, that he wasn't willing to watch any longer, that he left paradise, heaven, came to earth as a baby, grew up to be a man, to stand in our place. That's the God we serve. That's why our attitude needs to be far greater. Because as Christians, we go through troubles. I took my rose tinted glasses off a long time ago when I realised that Christians get attacked. Christians come under scrutiny. Christians have it bad. I didn't think that was the case. The world was like that because that was my everyday living. So I'm thinking as a Christian, I'm just going to sail through now. I've done it. I'm a Christian now. All things are going to be good. Bank account's going to look better. You know, the cars are going to be faster. Well, not cars, I didn't drive till 40. But things were going to get better. So I was like, yeah, riding on the high of this newfound faith in God. But then my legs got tucked from underneath me. And my attitude plummeted. Because I was, praise God, I was at the front, first one at the front. Want to see Jesus. I was proper worshipper. I was on fire until I came unstuck. And that was where the real test was. See, when it's good, it's good. When everything's sweet and peaceful, it's all right. But what about when a storm comes? What about when pandemics hit? What about when, you know, people get diagnosed with terminal illnesses and people die? Where's our attitude at then? Because we're good at telling people, oh, Jesus will change your life. Oh, he's amazing, he died for you, he'll come down and he can make everything right. But what about when you're the one on the receiving end? Where's our praise? Where's our worship? How do we dig deep then? What's in our tank? Because it's like, I remember reading this story, well, a little paragraph of a man had a cup of coffee, and I'm sure you've all heard it, and someone bumped into him and he spilt coffee on the floor. And he said, what was in your drink? He said, well, coffee. You know, that's what came out. In other words, when we rocked, when we hit, when life bumps into us, whatever comes out of us is what's there. What we're carrying. So if we're carrying a heart of praise, if we're carrying a heart for God, that's what's going to come out, even when we get shook up. I probably didn't do that any justice, but that's the gist of it. Whatever is inside is what comes out. So when we get shaked, rattled and rolled, what should come out is something of God. Something that says, you know what? The name above my door is Jesus Christ. So whatever I face, I'm going to face it with him. And when my attitude points towards God, it can't point towards the enemy, because you can't serve two masters. And I think when we get the personal revelation that when Jesus said all authority in heaven and on earth is in me. All is a very absolute word. There's no room for anything else. It's all. The devil has no authority. Only that what we give him, sister. It's true. He has zero authority. We bend to his will, but we don't need to. We give up when there's still more in the tank, because I just can't take it anymore. I can't keep living like this. You know, I'm throwing in the towel. No, the devil has zero authority. I should have been dead through addiction years ago, or so I was led to believe. But God has all the authority over my life. The devil has none. But he'll lie. He'll whisper. He'll change circumstances around you to make you feel like that's it. But all authority is in God, which means the devil has got none. Only that what we give him. Stop letting him bruise your attitude, making you feel like you're no good, making you feel like you've had one mistake too many. Listen, you ain't too bad that you can't be saved, but you're not too good that you don't need saving. For anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. I don't believe that is just for the day of salvation. I believe that is our trump card from God that says when the going gets tough, who do we call? Not Ghostbusters. we call on God. You know, Dave mentions about a prayer meeting. Of course we should come to prayer meetings. It's probably the most unattended meeting in all churches, you know that? Because we put these prayer meetings on, and I'm sounding like a hypocrite, but I'm at the Lighthouse. But we're praying. But that's not an excuse. We should be at prayer meetings. In fact, we shouldn't need to orchestra a prayer meeting. It should just be a norm for the church. We should be praying. We should be interceding. We should be prayer and action. That's what it should be. You know, I think this church is a great church and there's a real good balance. But I think prayer meetings have always, in my experience, have always lacked. You've got your hardcore. You've got those that pray in the sleep. We'll be here. Right? And you know what, guys? It's usually women. Because women will come to an opening of a bag of crisps. Right? They'll come to everything. They're so committed, they will come to everything. And I think, guys, that's where we fall short. We should be at more things. I'm serious. I've been in church life for a long time. And the majority of the nitty-gritty meetings, you'll always find women there. I'm telling you. Jesus had lots of women around him. You always find women. We can learn learn a lot of commitment from women. Right? We need to be more committed where prayer is concerned. Because if we want to see change, we need to be praying. Not just corporately saying the Lord's Prayer, which I love, by the way, but actually committing to bringing some walls down, to doing some real business. You know, my wife didn't get saved straight away. She wasn't a Christian when I met her. There were photographs passed around her, Leslie. People were in different prayer groups, laying hands. I come from a Pentecostal background. There were people laying hands on photographs. There was people meeting in different churches, praying for Leslie to get saved. Guess what? She got saved. Now, I could have put it down to the fact that, you know, it's because I invited her one day to a conference. No, it's because we were praying. It's because God's hand was on her. Because my attitude shifted. Because I was thinking the marriage was over. Because I knew God had a call on my life. And it was like, I was being told many a time, don't talk to me about your God. Lovely woman, great woman, probably a better Christian than I ever was. But she'd never made that jump. But whenever I'd talk about God, it was like, you know what, I love you, but please don't talk to me about God. That was what I was up against. But I was praying, being told, don't give up. Do you believe God can? Do you believe God can save Leslie? And I was like, we carried on praying and praying. And then there, all of a sudden, bam, she's in the kingdom, running across a field with her arms in the air, shouting, I love you, Jesus. God is good. But it's where is my attitude at? Do I have a mind? Because the Bible says that we should have a mind like Christ or an attitude like Christ. Doesn't mean have a God complex, because guess what? We ain't Christ. We're not Jesus. But we should have a mind after him. A mind that says, love thy neighbour. A mind that says, you know what? I will go into the highways and into the byways to the people that feel unloved and feel wretched and feel broken and have been told they shouldn't even be here. They've been told that they're not worthy, yet they were worth dying for. We have to expose the lies of Satan. Not in the world, in Oldham. Let's not go beyond Oldham for a moment. You walk up in Oldham, I don't recognise it. Born and bred in Oldham, and I don't recognise it at the moment. Because anything goes except the church. The only religion to ever feel true opposition is Christianity. In Oldham. You know, I remember doing some open air and the police were going to arrest me. What for? Because I actually was reading John 3:16 from my iPad. And they made me unplug my speaker. This was a few years ago now. It's when COVID was just coming off. Just sort of like opening up. And I had two policemen around me threatening to remove me. For what? But they couldn't argue because I wasn't even preaching. I was just reading the scripture. That scripture that we tell the world and remind them that they loved. And that God loves them so much. He was going to arrest me. It's crazy. Now, that could have really sent me under. But what it did, it just revved me up. It revved me up to do it again, to keep going, to be more of a witness, to live my life that little bit better, to be a shining light, to be hope in a dark place. Because that's what we are. We're all carriers of the presence of God. All of us. And you would listen, newsflash, you will get those things whispering to you all the time to tell you you're not good enough, to tell you to stop going, to question whether or not it was God that said that. Sometimes the devil will try and blag your head by convincing you that even he's not real. Because if we believe he's not real, we can never challenge him. We'll never challenge his attacks because it can't be the devil. He's not even real. So we go along blindly walking towards hell. But we're the church. We're the plan. We're God's hands and feet. We're the very reason that Christ went on the cross, so that he could birth a church that would be a shining light in the community to lead people out of darkness into a greater place. See, the joy of the Lord is our strength. That means there should be something in us that just resonates with God all the time. That says, you know what? I don't care how it looks right now, God. I know that you've got something greater. Jeremiah 29 verse 11 is probably one of the most overquoted scriptures until we apply it. When we realise that, well, hang on a minute, God's got a plan for my life. A plan to prosper me. Yet we only see finance when we hear the word prosper. So we lose sight of what it means to be prosperous. Well, actually, guess what? I've got an amazing wife, right? I've got 5 kids that I like. No, I love them. Don't always like them, but they know that because I'm very open with them. But I've got 6 grandchildren. I've got 7 in May. You probably all know now because most of you on Facebook. But I don't broadcast it, not because I'm ashamed, because I'm not. Because I can't wait to love on this new grandson that's coming. But I'm going to have 7. The number of perfection, I'm going to have 7. I don't want any more. I just want to turn 50 gracefully and just hide somewhere and leave it now. I think 7's enough, don't you? But I have been prosperous in so many things. But I would look and say, you know, God, you promised me that. You're going to prosper me and you're going to give me hope and a future and, you know, you don't want any harm to come to me. But when's this prosperous thing going to kick in? Lord, every time I put my hand in my pocket, all I can feel is my leg. When am I going to... But then I realise, when I shift my attitude and stop looking at pound signs, that I can see all that God has done. You know, I want for nothing. I've got a house. You know, I've got a job. I've got... You know, I have a ministry. I'm part of a church. I'm pretty rich this morning. You know, you know what? I'm blessed. Should have been 7 quid, this T-shirt. 4 quid. 4 quid when I got to the counter. You're telling me I'm not blessed. 4 quid. I got a coat, right, last year. And it said on it, 80 quid. And I love these retro Adidas. And I went, oh. Leslie went, you never have a treat. I said, there's a treat, Leslie, and there's stupidity. I said, I'm not paying £80 for nothing, right? And I'm not tight. I'm just not stupid. Anyway, she went, well, at least go on, please. Well, she even said, I'll put some to it. So anyway, I went to the counter under duress because all I could think of, £80, that's a week's shopping, that's bills. Because that's the way my mind's worked. Got there. Oh, it's got a reduction on this, 50 quid. So the temptation was there. I'm thinking, 50 quid, can I handle that? When she went to till it in, 30 quid. Jeremiah 29 verse 11, in action. God wants to prosper us. Why? Because he loves us. And we can have a little bit of fun in church, but the truth is, our attitude will always determine where we go. Every single time, you must have the same attitude that Christ had, Philippians 2. You know, Jesus didn't reach the highest places because of his circumstance. He did it through serving and obedience. It's not about platform. It's not about spiritual promotion in the sense of the pastors, the evangelists, the teachers. It's about obedience. It's about serving. Jesus come to serve. Before leadership, they were serving. Who's the greatest in the kingdom? Those that serve. Those that have a heart and an attitude that says all glory to God. Not Lee, not Dave. All glory to God. That's the best attitude we can have. As Christians, there go I by the grace of God. It's all about him. That's the journey I'm on. It's not about Lee. You know, there were once upon a time in my ministry where I was everywhere, even abroad, preaching, getting all these opportunities, and my study time started to slow down because I felt like I knew enough. You know, I'd be, the night before, I'd throw a message together because, you know, I felt it was a genuine message, but everything was being cut in half because I felt important. Because I was a pastor, I was an evangelist, I was America at one point, then Africa, Spain, and all these times, and getting invited to preach it, and I was like, yeah, this is brilliant. Then all of a sudden, when I realised I'd completely took my eyes off God, and I'm just being honest with you now, I would turn around at that time and say, I love God. And I believe I did. But I took my eyes off him. Everything started to point from God to Lee. Everything. It was in my strength. It was my way or the highway. I can do this. I can get through this because I know enough. God was warning me. God was telling me. I weren't listening. And then suddenly, I went from the guy who was always getting asked to go here and there to being on my knees in my front room with my head in my city, feeling lost. Where am I? Who am I? I don't even recognise myself. It's like everything in my world was going wrong. The church that I was serving felt like it was turning against me. Everything was woe is me. I became selfish. Everything about me, I just became, I isolated myself, and I came to a place of brokenness. And the only person could help me was Jesus. You know, get back to your first love. I'm telling you. Will it ever be as good as it was that first time? No, it'll be better. It'll be better. When we think that, oh, I'll never have that experience like I did when I first got saved, you know, when I was dead good, that's a lie. Every time you come to God, when you understand that God's not a coat or a hat or a buzz feeling, like a shiver down your spine if the Holy Spirit's moving, when you realise it's not about the manifestation of the feeling you want, but you realise it's about the expectation and the encounter you can have, your first time will be every time. Every time you come into the presence of God. Not waiting to be revved up. You do a fantastic job, by the way. You do, and I mean that, all of you. But we should accompany you. We should be running alongside you. You should be looking at us getting encouraged and playing harder. But so often we feel like we need to be revved up based on what Saturday were like. I mean, I just thank God Liverpool are playing at R4 today. You know what I'm saying? Because it spoils my weekend if they lose. And it shouldn't be like that. A load of men running around in shorts for loads of money. It shouldn't be like that. But I know Dave's the same, so I don't feel as bad. In fact, if anything, I feel a little bit better. Because I support Liverpool and he supports Leeds. But could have been me, Dave. My dad was a Leeds fan. He's a glory hunter. He's a glory hunter. He changed when Liverpool started winning everything. He's come back to his first love. But do you know, there's going to be some tough days ahead for all of us, guaranteed. That's not me being prophetic or claiming to be some kind of prophet. It's just being a realistic person. We're going to face trials. We're going to face other things. But it's who we face it with. It's what we do and who we do it with. Of course we're going to come under attack. Why? First and foremost, when we understand that you're a threat. When we, not only when we said yes to Jesus, But when we started to live for him, when we started to become passionate about him, when we allowed the fire of God to be stoked up in us, we pose a real threat. You can come in church, you can get involved and stuff, but the moment you start to live for him, then you push the devil out. When we come into the presence of God through worship, the devil hates it. That's why he tries to make you feel lethargic and distracted, because he knows that once you step into the presence, he can't get near you. I don't know about you, have you ever been in the presence of God through worship and felt felt Satan? I haven't. I don't feel the attack of the enemy when I'm lost in worship, because he's been thrown out of the presence. He was there. He had it all. He was a worship leader. But he was cast out. So it makes sense to me that the one thing he tries to interrupt is the worship. So we often wait for a song that we know. But then it becomes a bit like karaoke. It's like, I do it sometimes, because I mean, I can't remember my name half the time. Lee. I have to think then. But I'll stand there sometimes and you know, slowly but surely, so you can see, slowly but surely the leg goes. You know what I mean? And then one comes in that I know, and they both go then. Yeah, because I know the song, and I feel more relaxed doing it. But actually, there's a song in us all that needs to come out. You know, when I was on my knees with my face planted into the settee, feeling absolutely broken, do you know the only song that came out? In fact, it weren't even really a song. I just started to wail his name. I felt embarrassed. I felt like I'd let my family down. And the truth is, I didn't even do really. In the world, I didn't do anything wrong, except take the shine from God and put it on myself. I didn't do anything illegal, illicit, or anything like that. I just made it all about me. But in that moment, the only thing I could sing was his name. Jesus. Jesus. And the scripture came alive. For anyone who calls on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. There's one scripture I just wanted to read. And then we'll stop. Proverbs 4:23. And it warns us, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. The enemy will attack your heart. He'll get into your, he'll infiltrate your circles. He said that, she said that. Discouragement, disappointment, bitterness. They're all like cancers of the church when we let them in. When we let these emotions in. You know, you can love someone, but not always like them, because you feel like they've offended you. And once that offence kicks in, your attitude plummets and you stay grounded. You don't move forward. When we understand, and Dave mentioned it last week about the, you know, the power of unity, because I was going to preach on unity, but the power of unity, of standing together, not being uniformed and all coming dressed in the same clothes and walking like robots, because that's not, you know, God designed you better than that. But to be in one accord and understand that God is God and we are people. People have flaws, but God has none. But when we come together with an understanding, with a real true understanding that you are loved, and I don't think we fully have tapped into that love yet, because I believe if we understood how much we were loved, we'd be in a different place anyway, because the love of God is amazing and it's reaching every one of us. But you know what? Guard your heart. Keep your eyes and your attitude on the kingdom. How do you build the kingdom? By building up one another. By encouraging. By loving. By not by putting a coat hanger in your mouth and looking like Ned Flanders. No, we don't want to promote that type of Christianity that's not touchable. We want to be able to come alongside broken people and say, you know what, I know what you're going through. I get it, but come on, let me walk with you. Let me walk with you. You know, let's do this together. Let's carry the burden. Let's walk to the cross. Some people need walking to the cross. you know, and they'll stumble back, and we need to get behind them when the winds change and keep walking them to the cross. We have to have an attitude like Christ. We leave none behind. We go back, and we go back, and we go back. And no matter how many times people fall, we pick them back up. Never to look down unless you're going to pick them back up. Never to write them off, but understand that the attitude of Christ is that all people are loved. Ezekiel 13 says that it's his will that none perish. None. So we keep going back. We keep having an attitude of Christ. And the more we have an attitude like that, the more we'll keep ascending to glory, from glory to glory. Negativity is a gravity that will pull you down. But having a kingdom mindset, you'll soar like the wings of the eagles. Every other bird, except the eagle, hides from the wind. It's only the eagle that positions its wings so that it can fly in the bad wind. And that's what we need to be like. We need to see every problem like an opportunity. Because we serve the master of the storm. I don't remember anyone else controlling the elements except Jesus. But we've got to soar. Got to fly high. Got to have a mind like Christ. We've got to have a kingdom mindset, building one another up. Because guess what? I'm going to tell you something that you already know. He's coming back. He's coming back for his bride. Can't keep avoiding it. He's coming back. I've always believed it's going to be in my lifetime. I hope so. I'm 50 soon. You know, I don't want it to be where I can't do nothing about it. I want to be in the action. I want to be like an action Jackson. I love serving God. But he is coming back. He's coming back. So have an attitude after Christ, and it will determine your altitude. Shall we pray? Let's stand. I'm just praying, then I'm going to hand over to Dave. Thank you, Jesus. Dear Lord Jesus, Father, I pray today, Lord, that you'll help us to cast off any heavy weights of a bad attitude, and that you renew our minds and our spirits. Father, that we will look to you at all times, not thinking we're bigger than we are, but knowing that you are greater. Lord, I pray for each and every person in this congregation today, Lord God. I don't know where people are at, but I know, Lord God, where I'm at. And I know, Lord, that if we allow the enemy, he will get in. So I pray for protection, Lord God, over each and every person in this room. Father, protection for today, tomorrow, and the rest of the week. Lord, I lift up Dave, who leads his church, Lord God, who needs probably more protection than most, Lord God, because he's a target like we are. Father, I pray that you'll just keep everybody in this congregation safe, that your angels will stand guard. Lord God, that, Father, you will open doors of opportunities, Lord and God. Even when we see problems, we'll see opportunities and ways for you to be glorified. I pray for anyone in this place that is sick, that is struggling, Lord God, that your healing wings, Lord, will just touch each and every one of us right now, because, Lord, that is who you are. You're a good, good Father, and the power is in your name. So I declare the name of Jesus over every single person right now, over every single person watching that is going to go on YouTube and Facebook and watch, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Bless you guys.
Please be seated. Just to pray, just a thought into when Lee was speaking. Romans 12, verse 2 says, "Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." That's a lot where our attitude is, isn't it? You know, protect our hearts. Lee talked about that, very real. But our mind is where often those attitudes turn. He said, then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and perfect, pleasing will is. And we just ask, as we finish, as we come towards the end, that God would just renew our minds with the attitudes of Christ, really. That's what I think. And I listened to something the other day, and I thought I could turn this into a sermon sometime. And I'll just speak it very briefly, but it was this person who was talking about the fact that we label ourselves, or the enemy puts labels on us. So we'll say things like, I'm a depressed person. And what this person was saying, well, no, you're not a depressed person. You might have depression, but if you put the label on you, you're a depressed person, then you stick in that. You can feel depressed, but you're not a depressed person. Or you say, oh, I'm always an anxious person. Well, sticking that label on yourself is not good. Yes, you can feel anxious, but you don't have to stick the label on that you're an anxious person. And the person says, oh, you might say, you know, I'm not good enough. You might not feel so good, but don't stick the label on yourself, or let the enemy stick the label on you that you're not good enough. It's this battle that we face around our attitudes. And Lee reminds us, isn't it, that we don't have to carry those negative stuff. We need to carry what God labels us and have the attitude of Christ as we face the different things that we will face. Know that we're loved. Know that we're set free. Know that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And I just wonder if some people today, as we just pray to that, if you're just carrying those labels, or and they are, to me, it's the attitude, the carrying them in us, that God would just break us free from that stuff. We don't carry them. Yeah, we can feel anxious without being an anxious person. Don't label yourself as, oh, I'm always an anxious person. No, that's not what God wants for you. That's not the attitude he wants you to carry. Yes, you can feel anxious at times. We all do. But that doesn't mean we have to carry the label that that's who you are. And we need to push past that with the attitude of Christ and know who we are with him. So can we just bow our heads just for a moment? Lord, just to begin, we just take a moment, and our time is ticking on a little bit. We just take a moment. Lord, would you remind us who we are again? In you. Loved children of the living God. Valued, special. So special that you died for us. And I just pray that sense of, Lord, if we're carrying attitudes, labels, however we want to call it today, that are not good for us, that are not healthy for us, that are not for you, not from you, Lord, I pray against them in Jesus' name. Lord, we don't have to be known as a worrier, not good enough, a depressed person. Well, we can feel things like that at times, but that is not our label. That is not our attitude. Break it and affirm in us who we are in you. Lord, help us to have that attitude of Christ as we go into this world, as we live for you. Lord, it doesn't mean that everything's going to be okay all the time, but give us that deep hope that says, but I'm going to go forward in Christ. I can face this. I am blessed. Lord, just break into our hearts, break into our minds, renew our minds again today. Fill us with that confidence, not in ourselves, but we have the big God with us. And we go from this place changed and transformed, renewed and refreshed as your people. Taking up the attitude of Christ as we go. Not for our sake, but for the glory of you and for your kingdom to come wherever we find ourselves this week. In Jesus' name. Amen. Before we just sing to go out, you know, if there's if you want any prayer around that, that's important. Sometimes we just need to set someone to be alongside and say, look, I carry a label. I don't want to carry that label. I carry a wrong attitude. I don't want to carry it. Just get somebody, myself, Leo, whatever, someone to pray with you and just say, come on, let's just claim the promises of God again today over our lives. Let's stand. I don't know what we're going to sing, but we're going to sing something.